Hi Singapore, welcome to episode 13 of SG Sports Uncut. I'm your host Raj Kumar, and Uncut is the show that brings you closer to our Team Singapore athletes and officials. On today's show, we turn the spotlight on winter sports. Over the last few years, you would have seen our Team Singapore athletes compete in the disciplines of ice hockey, ice skating and figure skating. They've also managed to win medals at the major games and bring back glory for the country. So for the very latest on winter sports, let's first hear from our friends from Singapore's Ice Hockey Association. Hi everyone, welcome to episode 13 of SG Sports Uncut. President of Singapore's Ice Hockey Association, Diane Fu, will start this discussion with you. And we're 6 weeks into a brand new decade. What's the latest happenings at your NSA, which is short form SIHA?
Currently, we are actually in the process of having our national team to do a training. But this training has been ongoing for years.
Which national team?
For the men's, women's and the youth teams.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so they have been ongoing throughout the years. Only for this year, we actually have a new program. It's called the Unified National Training Program, which in short is called the UNTP. And this is actually compliance of the three divisions, which is the men's, women's and youth. And we actually use this to maximize the ice time for all the athletes to be able to train on the piece of ice. And they have this training once every two times a week, which is like Friday night and Saturday night. So ongoing from there, they're actually in preparation for the upcoming Challenge Cup of Asia that is run every annually. But unfortunately, because due to the conflicts of 19, so the tournament actually is been postponed. Yet to know about the new dates right now.
Okay, so because of the COVID-19 virus, it's been postponed. Initially, it was
in
scheduled.
February.
Oh, this month.
This month, yes, for our U20 men's and the women's division.
At the location, J?
One will be in the Bangkok, in Thailand.
Oh, okay.
For the men's U20, the other one, the women, will be in Philippine Manila.
So, besides the preparation for the two tournaments and the COVID-19 virus, I understand your NSA created history last month at the Winter Olympic Games.
Yes.
What happened?
We are very... I would say very lucky and to be chosen one of the country to be participate. And Matthew Hamlet was one of the lucky player to be chosen because we actually sent in the videos for this for them to do a selections. So he went in there and then he has a lot of
attention.
Okay. Yes, and then learns a lot of new things as well. Yeah, because of 3-on-3 is a new format of playing, which is right now is an introduction to all the hockey community.
Okay.
So yeah, so it's a very, I would say very proud of him to be there and to represent the Singapore.
So Matthew is what, 15?
He's 15 years old, yes.
And he played in a mix. When you say mix, means he...
internationally with other countries. So his teammate is all from all over the world.
Yeah, that's what the YNG is all about.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Good job, Matthew. Well done. We're also joined in the studios today by Elvin Chan, who's the assistant coach of Singapore's men's national squad. Elvin, how did you feel watching young Matthew compete in the mixed 3-on-3 format in Lausanne?
Yeah, well, ice hockey is not too far removed from its infancy or grassroots stage of development in Singapore. So to have someone representing us in the grandest stage, which is the Youth Olympic Games, is fantastic.
Okay. Right?
Speaking to Matthew, it was definitely an invaluable experience for him to be out there with the best in the world, playing the sport that he loves and representing his country. So not only did he benefit, but I also saw a huge spillover effect for the rest of us here, because we live vicariously through his Instagram posts at his every moment. Right? So not only did the IIHF accomplish what it intended to do, which is to grow the game of hockey in the non-traditional markets like Singapore, his teammates that followed him really were really spurred on to know what it takes to compete at that level, and to know that it's possible to live out every kid's dream, which is to compete for their country in the Olympics.
Okay, let's talk about our men's senior national team.
Yep.
What have they been up to since bringing back the silver medal at the SEA Games just about 3 months ago?
Yeah, quite honestly, since coming back, it's we just stuck to our back to work mentality, because ultimately the silver medal performance, although it's a great performance, it's just part of what we're trying to achieve as an overall process as a program, right? That being, we want to continue to grow every day, continue to improve, and move the program forward. So we really have to look at how we define what success means, right? Mm. Success doesn't mean just the color of the medal or winning and losing. Success means growing, improving every day. Mm. So with that being said, like Diane said, we have launched a unified program which brings together the men's team, the women's team, the under-20s and the under-15 teams in an effort to sort of collaborate and to bring about this culture of success and continued growth.
Mm. I mean, that particular game in the final, of course, it was against, you know, star-studded Thai side. I was there filming for SG Sports TV, and you know, and then to see the support from, I think there were about 40 or 50 Singaporeans, the families who all came down, you know, flew to Manila for the game. It was brilliant to see all of them. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, and then the coronation, getting the silver medal in only your second attempt at the SEA Games. Great job by Singapore men. Let's hear now from Sheena Yap, who's the captain of our national women's ice hockey squad. Sheena, ice hockey for women was not included at the Manila Games. Was that a major disappointment for your team?
Yes, that was definitely a major disappointment for us, because back in 2017, when ice hockey was first featured at SEA Games in Malaysia back in 2017, the women's was not included. Mm. So fast forward to 2019, we were actually anticipating and hoping that the women would be included along with the men's team, but it was again not so included. So it was a disappointment for us, especially for the seniors.
For the benefit of those watching who didn't even know there was a women's national squad, would you be able to give us some background behind this team?
Yeah, sure. The women's team actually has a history of about 7 years, which was formed back in January 2013. The team comprises of players from various backgrounds, like inline hockey players, floorball players, and also ice hockey player itself. So they formed this team to participate in the annual Challenge Cup of Asia, which was held in Hong Kong back in December 2013. Okay. They faced various challenges like having inconsistent and irregular training timing slots. Mm-hmm. But despite of the challenges, they still managed to clinch a bronze medal back then. So I think it was an amazing feat for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been part of the setup from day one? And I mean, like you say, 7 years. And what got you involved in ice hockey?
I was not part of the setup. I joined ice hockey 2 years later. Mm-hmm. So I joined ice hockey because I was actually an inline hockey player back in my university days. Mm-hmm. I played for around 1.5 years old, 1.5 years before the inline court in Tampines had to be demolished to make way for the redevelopment of the Tampines Sports Hub now. Mm-hmm. So during the break, my friends introduced me to ice hockey in Jurong East. So it was a culture shock for me because I had to go for training at 7 a.m. during Sunday morning and midnight training in Friday. Yeah, but I stuck with it and has been playing ever since.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you already knew what challenges you were going to face in terms of the training times for ice hockey. You already knew that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Diane, our Singapore men's team won the silver medal at the SEA Games in only their second appearance at the Games. Was the silver your initial target prior to the Games?
I would say that we are really surprised. Our men's really did very well. We actually attempt to approach these tournaments, although with the despite with the challenge that they have with all the other countries, back to 2017 where the countries was really difficult to play against with, but they have put their hearts out to play, that they actually managed to win the games. And then of course during the preliminary round they actually didn't manage to win with the defending champion, which is the Philippines, but that give us advantage when the game formats actually allows us to play against them in the semi-finals again. That brought us to the gold medal games. So I'm really proud with the boys where they actually put in a lot of hard words and play to their best, and they know that every game they are doing better and improving.
I think this campaign, several of the boys became men. It was like boys to men. I'm just kidding around. No, because when I interviewed your team captain at the end of the campaign, he says, you know, I'm like 42 or something. The goalkeeper, I believe, was 45. 40 or something like that. Then he says, it's time for, you know, the dad's army to step down.
Yes.
The younger boys need to come through. Mm-hmm. So, I think this was the defining moment and the transition, probably, of the national team. What have you learned of the team since their return and you reflect on the campaign?
Our players have very strong will and determination, so I'm very sure that in the near future they will do much better, and we hope that to keep that spirit high for every one of them so that they can achieve a higher level to play in a better environment as well. Yeah.
The chairman of Sports Singapore was also there, right? He was
yes.
He was there in the crowd cheering.
Yes,
yeah. Alvin, it's no secret that we lost to Thailand 8-0 in the gold medal showdown. Apparently the Thais are on a whole new level, on a whole different level in the region. So how have they managed to lift their game to be sort of one standard above the rest of us?
As I mentioned before, we're comparative to Thailand or even the other countries.
Yep.
We're relatively young in our ice hockey development.
Mm.
So Thailand has multiple rinks. They have thousands of players that try out for the national team. They have professional coaches, right? So as a team, we don't want to focus on what we do not have, because some of the things that some of these things may not change, and if they do change, it will take time to change.
Mm.
What we've collectively decided to do is really focus on maximizing and leveraging on what we do have and what the potential is with the resources that we do have.
Okay. So given the challenges that you just mentioned, do you reckon it's possible for us to try and close the gap within the next 2 years or before the next SEA Games at least? We don't know whether Vietnam is going to host, right?
Yeah, we have no idea.
We don't know yet. Okay. So, okay, maybe 2 or 4 years. Are we able
to? 2 or 4 years, yeah. So again, you know, with our goal of just improving every day, yes, obviously that's definitely a goal. When we go to compete, we want to do our best.
Mm.
But, you know, valuing growth and valuing just improving every day are two fundamental pillars of any successful ice hockey program, or any program for that matter. So if we just focus on just putting in the work, doing our due diligence of giving our best, no matter what resources that we have to tap into, and building a culture and environment towards growth and what success really means, I think we'll be fine. From the level of cultivating interest for the game, to recruitment of younger players, and ultimately in the national level to develop programs that will bring us to the next level. And yes, obviously, to succeed beyond our silver medal performance.
Mm. Sheena, what has your women's team been busy with since the start of 2020?
We have been busy with trainings and more trainings. Like what Diane said, what we did different this year was the introduction of UNTP, whereby we have the chance of more trainings like on Friday and Saturday midnight, whereby we got a chance to train with the men's and the youth, which focuses more on skills development. Yep.
So right now your training is confined to Friday and Saturday?
No, we have more trainings. Like Monday, we participate in the adults mixed league, which falls on every Monday night.
Okay.
And
that's at what time?
Sometimes midnight, sometimes 11.
Okay.
Yeah. And we also have additional physical training on Thursday at Toa Payoh Gym session. We are lucky to have additional ice slot, we will have a scrimmage against the men's or the youth for purely our women's team.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But generally, when you train on the ice at JCube, you are training in the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah.
Right?
From 12 to 2 a.m.
Obviously, training at midnight onwards is totally not conducive for your team or for any sport for that matter. So why do you guys do it, considering you have families, you have work, your personal lives, everything else to deal with?
Okay, as it sounds cliche, I believe that our passion and commitment towards ice hockey has really made us prioritize hockey trainings above all our social commitments and social events and other like activities that we have in our lives. So but however, these midnight trainings, although it is harmful to our social lives, but it also offers a cheaper alternative to us. Yeah.
Wait, what's cheaper as in it's cheaper to book the ring or
non-peak hour?
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it's a cheaper way of not having to spend $50 having dinner with your loved one. Okay. Elvin, the men's team also faced the same issue, having to train from midnight onwards. I assume the men over the years have truly come to accept this situation and just work with it.
Yeah, like you said, you know, it's just the reality that we live with. So we've just made do with the schedule. But ultimately, you know, the commitments and the sacrifices that's put forth by the players and the coaches, you know, it goes beyond, you know, just the players themselves. It's a whole family commitment.
Mm.
I mean, for me, you know, I work all day, then I head out to the rink at 10 p.m. to run the fitness session for an hour, and we actually don't hit the ice until midnight, and we train all the way up to 2 a.m. So after you get changed, shower, get back home, you know, it's 3 a.m. before you go to sleep, and for all of us, we actually, I wake up at 8 o'clock to head to work, and then we repeat, rinse and cycle again for the Saturday night, right? But like I said, you know, it's helpful to have an understanding wife that allows me to do this. But like I said, it's a whole family commitment, because for Friday nights, I see all the under 15 parents there from 9:30 onwards, right? With the whole family watching the fitness program. And they're there from midnight to 2 a.m. in the stands supporting us.
The families?
The whole family. You know, some kids...
With the kids?
Sometimes with the kids doing their tuition homework. Some with helpers or extended families will be at home. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it just doesn't affect the individual player, the coach. But the families themselves of these young kids, right, are there as well. You know, but it's not all bad, because of this situation, we do have like a extended family feel, because we see that at the weekend, we're all under the same circumstance, and we all just love the game, right? And lastly, there are other benefits as well. I have a 15-year-old son on the national team as well, and I see that this sort of schedule, although not perfect, has really inculcated, you know, a discipline about him, so that they learn how to balance the student-athlete equation.
That's a very nice way of putting it. Over the years, have you seen good national players drop out or fall out because they just cannot commit to the late training hours and lack of alternative venues to train? As in during the normal daytime or morning?
Yeah. So again, once again, that's a reality that we face. No matter how passionate you are about the game, eventually you go through different stages of life, from being a student to, you know, a husband and, you know, a dad, right? So there are certain times and periods where certain players are not able to come for training for a term or two. But ultimately, you know, because we love the game so much, they eventually do return. And although, again, cliche, when the nation calls, everyone answers.
Coming back to Diane, and this issue with the lack of playing time on the ice at J-Cube has gone on for years. Your athletes are suffering from this, and so are the athletes in figure skating and short track speed skating. Perhaps before I can proceed further, I could get your thoughts on the current arrangement in place for your players to train at JQ.
Thank you for asking this question. I'm glad you asked as well. For the three sports that are trying their best to achieve a good result, but because of the limited ice time that we are shared, so we also have this thinking that it would be great to have a second ring that is a training ring for just the athlete itself.
A purpose-built ring.
Yes.
Purpose-built for ring. The two NSAs.
Yes, so that they can actually to use this to concentrate for the trainings and then to help them to improve and to be better players. Yes.
And for you to conduct all your training programs, clinics, host tournaments.
Yes.
Yeah. Which was actually my follow-up question. So if you wanted to achieve all of these other community and public related initiatives, how do you go about doing it with the rink, especially when there's already a certain amount of time given, granted to your different national teams? Because those events, I'm sure, can't be at midnight. The public is not going to come at midnight for a clinic.
So what the SIHA has is actually, we actually have a yearly work plan. We actually have planned that annually what we are supposed to do. Example like the tournaments, the leagues that we are running as well, or even this program for our national athletes. But of course, with the, as I said, with the limitation of ice times, it's very sad that some of the programs or even the clinic we are unable to run it because of the prime time where the ice rental are expensive. So if we couldn't get enough of the participants to come up for this, then we will not be able to run the programs. Yes, correct.
We're already in 2020. We are seeing our athletes compete at the Winter Youth Olympic Games, compete at the SEA Games. Who would have thought 10 years ago this was even possible?
Yes.
But given the restrictions for all of your initiatives and the disruptions to your personal lives, is there a possibility for your NSA, SIHA, and your counterparts at the Singapore Ice Skating Association collectively present a blueprint to the powers that be and push for a purpose-built ice rink?
Okay, yes, we do have spoke to each other on this, have a good discussion on this, but, well, because the lack of financial status for the both NSA, it's not really feasible for us to run it or even to build a one. But what we need is the support from SportsSG and even all others investors to come in for this, so that we can promote the sports for the nations. Yes.
So you're saying if you wanted to build this, you need the support from SportsSG, the government, and even the private and public sector.
Yeah, the investors.
To help build
a second ring, which is a training center for all the athletes
and for the public as well, to do your community programs.
Yes, correct.
Because everybody benefits in the end.
Yes.
The teams as well as the public.
Yes, correct.
Okay. At the same time, if there's time during the day when it's not used, the schools can come and use it.
Yes.
So the sport will expand to the schools as well.
Yes.
So everybody stands to gain.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
You can even have 24 hours as well.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.